Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 215 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one is a really good one. It's a special one. It's with Jessica Deshan Timmons from Cherry Block Craft Butcher and Kitchen in Houston, Texas, the Bravery Chef Hall. That's where it's at. Right now, they're 75% capacity. They're open Monday through Friday for dinner, Saturday and Sunday for lunch and dinner. But check with social media. This was recorded on the 25th of June, but I checked with her on the 19th of July, which is today, and they are currently, that is their current schedule, but check on social media, call them just to make sure because things are so fluid these days. Things are so strange. I do want to let you know that at the very, very beginning and a little bit at the very end, there's some hammering. Someone's working on an air conditioning unit, and so you can hear that. I'm going to try to tone that down as much as possible, but you could hear a little hammering. But otherwise, it's smooth sailing, and Jess is just great. They opened Cherry Block July 2019. February 2020 was their record month, and then COVID hit. And so she talks in depth about how they've tackled this and how they've essentially reopened three different times during this COVID time to deal with things and pivot. And that ability to pivot is a great primer for other restaurants. And the safety protocols that she goes through just for them to come into the door of their restaurant to start cooking is phenomenal. That's a great takeaway just in the beginning, but also what she's doing with HEB. I loved HEB, the supermarket, prior to talking to her, but now they're doing a Texans, supporting Texans thing. They reached out to her. She's doing five grab-and-go items, a smoked ham hock, a pimento cheese, a braised Dr. Pepper short rib, marinated sliced steak with mashed potatoes and collard greens and red beans and rice. And those are all grab and go. And think they were at 11 locations. I'll try to put all locations in the blog post companion to this. But it's an amazing, amazing story. She's been in the restaurant business for essentially her entire life. When she turned 18, she started working at Bennigan's. And a lot of people that she talks to and refers to are people that worked at Bennigan's too. So another takeaway from this, if there's takeaways from these, is that you should not burn bridges and keep those connections in line because everyone intertwines and you never know when you might need someone's help or you could help somebody else out. Then she went to work for Landry's. Landry's owns a ton of places. I live above a Morton Steakhouse. They're owned by Landry's. She worked for them for 15 years. Then she got involved with Food Waste Texas. That's how she got connected to a lot of people and also got connected to where the food was coming from and how important that was. She also opened up a place called Republic Country Club and Barbecue, which is like a House of Blues type place with a 1,200 seat capacity. She fed Willie Nelson, which right there, you could just drop the mic and leave because that's pretty amazing. Then she worked for Caboose. She has a consulting business. So she worked for Caboose Barbecue. Then she and a partner opened up Cherry Block Craft Butcher and Kitchen. And that's where she is today. There's so much to go over and so much to learn from this interview. I think that you'll get to know Jess really well and get to know that she really cares about her employees and cares about being a good manager, but also being a good person. I can't thank her enough for taking the time. I know you're really going to enjoy this. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com. That's treatyoakdistilling.com. Or you can go to their Dripping Springs location. They have 26 acres, beautiful location. Right now, they're not distilling. They're making hand sanitizer, but pretty soon they'll be distilling again. They have bourbons, they have rum, they have gin. They have a restaurant, Alice's Restaurant, on location. That's cooking great barbecue, live fire stuff. You could try cocktails there, all their drinks, tons of stuff. They have wine, they have beer, they have everything you can imagine there. It sounds like a wonderful little wonderland there in Dripping Springs. Again, it's Treaty Oak Distilling, treatyoakdistilling.com. And I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. The links to all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, breaking news, stories, different barbecue things that I want to share and gather and compile and hopefully helps you out with different things, or if you're looking for a pit or if you're looking for who knows what, I could hopefully help you out with that. I'm on all the social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're digging these, please subscribe. I'm doing about 2 to 3 of these per week. If you got something to say, comment or DM me, let me know. But at the end, stay safe. I hope you're enjoying these. Take care.
Within this food hall that we're in, there are 9 restaurants and a bar, okay. Right? We've all been here. Like, we haven't shut down. We shut down for dine-in, but we were still open for delivery and takeout and, you know, all that. And then, you know, obviously the HEB thing for Cherry Block has been a lifesaver.
Yeah.
But we've been working the whole time. right? We haven't shut down at all, except for like the one day in March that we decided we were going to flip everything over. We're not open for lunch, just because there's no one down here to buy food from us, and it doesn't make sense. None of us in this entire hall have tested positive, and I really think that it's almost like that herd immunity thing. Like, we've all been quarantined together.
Interesting.
And like, none of us have, no one has tested positive.
Have you had the antibody test?
I have not, but I had the molecular test, and so and that was negative.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple of the folks here have had the antibody test that came back positive and negative, and it was like kind of a weird.
Yeah. I don't know if it's 100% accurate science yet on that, but it would be interesting to know, though, if you've had it already, and if, because I'd feel a lot more comfortable around my mom. That's what I've taken care of her, living with her. I don't want to bring it into her, but if both of us have already had it, because we had something weird in December that I honestly think was this.
So did I. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if it's. I don't even know if that's the case, though.
Like, yeah, who knows? Yeah, we don't. None of us know. Yeah, and then half the country thinks it's a hoax, or a third of the country thinks.
I don't know.
So what? Do you want me to keep any of this in? I could jump.
You do what you want. If there's something that doesn't need to be included, then I'll say it.
This is a great week talking to you and Tuffy. It's a very good week for me. So
okay.
I wanted to share these stories, and then a lot of people now have podcasts and stuff. But I was kind of. I was just doing it for fun, and I love people, and I love this,
right.
And like I get to meet some really stellar humans because of this.
Barbecue's a very stellar human, you know. There's lots of us there. And to be honest, like, my career didn't start in barbecue, and like, I'm not even like really in barbecue right now. You know,
that's true.
We're grilling meat, but we're not like we don't do briskets and pork butt and you know that kind of stuff. We do. Ribeyes and you know that kind of thing.
That's true. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Alvin, which is a little bit southwest of Houston, hometown of Nolan Ryan, if that means anything to you.
It does,
so.
Of course.
That's our claim to fame, you know. So I grew up in Alvin. When I graduated high school, I moved to, you know, Clear Lake area, which is, you know, again, just south of here. I haven't really lived anywhere other than, you know, the suburbs of Houston.
Oh, you haven't? Would you ever want to live somewhere else?
You know, I mean, like, now I've got kids and, you know, that kind of thing. And we had kids very early. My husband and I had kids very early on. And so, you know, we've, you know, built our lives here. And, you know, not that I wouldn't want to live somewhere else, but, you know, it's just kind of been, you know, what we did. My goal one day is, and I will have a little house in New Orleans so that I can go hang out there when I want to. That's like my favorite place on earth. And so,
you know, that's the one place I haven't been, and I've heard just a million great things.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, when you decide to, when all clear is there, definitely hit me up. I've got an amazing list.
I will.
It's an easy drive. It's like 6 hours from here.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, like, hop in the car and you can stop and get boudin at Billy's on the way there and at Best Up on the way back. Like, I have a whole thing.
That already sounds wonderful. So that's a potential. So did you go to college in Houston or?
Yeah. I mean, so I started my career. I've never done anything but restaurants. When I was, you know, 16 years old, I was waiting tables at a little tea room. And then when I turned 18, I went to the big wide world of Bennigan's, which I think is so funny. It's like this like whole like Kevin Bacon-y thing. Like, everybody in this business either worked at Bennigan's or at like Steak and Ale. And then like their career just kind of went from there, which is so funny because it's like this shitty defunct company that served fried sandwiches that like everybody worked there.
Uh-huh, yeah. You know? That's amazing. Yeah, it is like that little branch, that tree. Yes.
Yeah, it's so funny. But you know, so I worked there and really started my career like grown-up adulting career at Landry's in 1999.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was with Landry's for 15 years. I started out as a server when I went through all the management program through the front of the house. So my career started as, you know, in the front of the house, not in the kitchen.
I live above a Morton's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, a lot of times you don't see a lot of chefs that have that front of the house experience first. You know, and so, so anyway, I went through all the front of the house management programs and, you know, this, that, and the other, and went to work as an executive assistant at the corporate office, I guess, probably after, you know, 5 or 6 years of being there. And while I was at the corporate office, I kind of, you know, my position there kind of grew and changed and evolved. And when I left Landry's in 2013, I was the corporate operations manager. So I was helping run all 400 plus properties with the executives, you know, doing everything.
Was there a lot of travel for that?
I didn't travel a lot because I was the one that was in the office doing all the global stuff. Like the way that the org chart, you know, was set up at that time, there were, I think, 7 senior vice presidents. And I was the one that ran like anything global that went across all concepts, because you can't run, you know, a Vic and Anthony's Fine Dining Steakhouse the same way you run a Rainforest Cafe.
That's right. True.
So they had different divisions for the different, you know, like concepts and that kind of thing. So I did.
What great knowledge you got from that, though.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't have, you can't pay for an education like that. I mean, being able to learn from, you know, and Tillman is an extremely brilliant man. He's brilliant. He's demanding. He knows what he wants. He gets what he wants. You're either a lifer with him or you're gone fairly quickly. That's the way it works. And so, you know, I was a lifer. I was there for 15 years.
That's a good amount of time to be in one company too.
Yeah, I know. And so, like I said, you couldn't have paid for the education I got. I learned everything I know from that company. I was very, very, very lucky to be able to spend my time growing and learning with the brilliant minds of that entire organization.
That is fantastic. Where did you go from there? What was your, and did you, was there a moment where you felt like, I just have to get out of this, or you just wanted to try something new?
Yeah. So I joined Food Waste Texas at the inception, which I'm sure you know all about. You know, we were this little bitty baby grassroots organization that we're going to change the world. And, you know, that's kind of what, you know, what we're trying to do still after 10 years.
It's an amazing organization.
It really is. It really is. I have made a million connections with, you know, various people from a world that I never would have probably known, you know, because it's, you know, all the academic folks and all the, you know, the Kelly Yandels of the world. And, you know, I mean, I probably would never have met, you know, some of the most amazing people in my life had it not been for that organization. So I joined Foodways, you know, right at its inception. And that was 2010, I believe. During that time, I kind of started really learning about, you know, why it's important where our food comes from and what, you know, what it means to be a part of a community and, you know, actually, you know, join in that community and give back to it and, you know, that kind of thing. The role that I was in it's difficult when you start with a company as a teenager. I was 19 when I started working there, and your goals and ideals change.
Without a doubt.
You know, ebb and flow. And like, I didn't know any different. Right. And then all of a sudden I'm part of this, you know, community, and I start meeting other people.
Yeah,
and
that opens your eyes to so much.
Yeah. And so it opened my eyes a lot. And I decided that, you know, and I'm extremely blessed that I've got a very supportive husband of, you know, we've been together 23 years at this point.
Well, didn't you have a recent anniversary?
Yes.
Happy anniversary again. Yes. I think I wrote you an email.
But. So, you know, I've got a really supportive husband, and I'm able to,
you know, important.
Now at this point in our lives together, I'm able to, you know, do things that I'm passionate about and not have to worry so much about, you know, the, you know, day to day, like
That's huge.
You know, grind this out so that I'm able to, you know, make ends meet, you know, now I'm able to, you know, be passionate about the things that I do. And so, that was kind of like the thought process of, you know, where I was. I loved working for Landry's. It was, you know, like I said, it was invaluable. I still talk to a lot of the folks that I worked with all the time. I mean, I'm actually doing a project with Saltgrass Steakhouse right now. I'm going there after I get off the phone with you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, I'm involved with them still to this day. But you know, again, like I said, your goals and ideals, you know, kind of evolve as you grow, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was just time for me to move on to do something for myself and do something on my own. And I went to open a live music venue. It's now closed, the Republic Country Club and Barbecue.
Ah, okay.
We were a live music venue, kind of House of Blues-ish is the way that I would, you know, liken it to something that you might know. Very, you know, country music, but, you know, Southern food. We held about 1,200 people on property.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how much of a country music fan you are, but I mean, I got to feed Willie Nelson, Ray Wiley Hubbard, Tracy Byrd, Mark Chess. I mean, anybody that you can possibly think of.
You had me at Willie Nelson. That's like, beyond that. Like even if I didn't like country music, Willie Nelson, my roommate in college would play Willie Nelson all the time. And it was just so, he's one of the best, one of the icons
of the greats,
of the planet.
Yes, one of the greats for sure. So that was, you know, we did a lot of important work there. We raised a lot of money for PTSD Foundation of America, which is a program that's based here in Houston that supports veterans with PTSD. It's a residential program so that, you know, if they're, you know, in a crisis, that they'll go get them and bring them to this facility. And, you know, we've raised a lot of money for that. And that was really important as well. That was a really fun thing. Lots and lots of good memories for sure.
How long did you have that?
I was there for 4 years, built it from the ground up, you know, per se with, an amazing group of folks. And like I said, we had, you know, tons and tons of fun and did a lot of good work. And I'm really proud of my time there.
That is amazing. And that's a really cool little slice of life to have.
Yeah. It really is. You know, I was with some girlfriends of mine yesterday and they were like, holy hell, how did this even happen? Like, you know, like, you know, all these people, like, you know, so yeah. So there's an amazing slice of life is definitely a way I would describe that. For sure.
Wow. That's
for
really
sure. And it also not only, you know, it also allowed me to really develop my leadership style the way that I lead a team. And, you know, I learned a lot from how I was led from prior experience, you know, and I was able to really develop what I hope my team would agree with is a pretty, you know, strong leadership style that is developmental and I like to help my people grow and, you know, that kind of thing, which I think is probably more important to me almost than the actual food itself.
Oh, I think so too.
The leadership is so important to me. And it's, you know, in this industry, being a chef is not about throwing plates at your cooks. It's not about you know, cursing them out and throwing knives at their heads. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
exactly. And talking to Erin, you know, Erin Feges, like, it was interesting to hear like what her experience in New York. It's that's that attitude and that style that doesn't work anymore.
Well, it's gone.
And it shouldn't
work. And I'm super, super proud of the way that our industry has evolved. And, you know, I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm proud to be a part of, you know, that change. And, you know, you can ask anybody in the world that knows me. I mean, like, I'm a very even keeled, again, I'm demanding and I'm kind of high maintenance. Like I said, I'm kidding.
We all know.
No, I mean,
we
like,
all
I'm
know
demanding.
That.
No, yeah.
I've heard,
I mean,
so
like
many
it's
things.
Like, you know, of course, you know, I'm sure. being demanding,
weird hat on it.
Being demanding and, you know, setting those expectations for your team doesn't mean a bad thing. That,
well, that
means
helps
that
the
you
team,
know what
that,
you're,
that helps
you,
the team.
Yeah, you're managing expectations of your guests. You're managing expectations. They know, my team knows what I expect, right? There's no gray area. It is a black and white. This is what I expect. And this is what we're going to do together. And I think it's important that, you know, saying this is what we're going to do together. You notice how quickly that just came out of my mouth. It wasn't, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's, this is what we're going to do.
Exactly.
You know? And so I think that gets lost a lot. And I'm, you know, I'm super excited that I'm able to, you know, have these folks that work with me and, you know, give them a little bit of something to take with them when they go.
Was Caboose the next project that you did after that, or was?
Yes. So I was there, you know, and I also own a consulting company. So I do restaurant consulting. Again, that's kind of just like a word of mouth thing. I don't really advertise it. Like, I don't have like a website and a Facebook page and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Just kind of pick and choose some projects. And so I've done, you know, quite a bit of that.
Which makes sense. You have that background. You have that knowledge. Yeah.
I've got front of the house knowledge. I've got systems in place because, good Lord, Landry's is a systems. You have to be,
I mean,
when I left there were 52 different concepts and 400 plus properties. Like, you have to have a system
amazing
in place
everything. Every time I go, look at the website. Yeah. Look, I'm astounded by how much
Yeah. You know, I can do systems. I can develop your menu, or I can, you know, help you with cost control. There's, you know, a myriad of different things. And so that's, you know, that after I left RCC, that's what, you know, I did consulting and that's how I came with Caboose. And the owner of Caboose, Doug McCregan, and I grew up together in Alvin. And that's, yeah. And so the restaurant, Caboose Barbecue, is actually directly behind a small restaurant that my dad owned for a little while. And so it was nice being back in my hometown. I, you know, reconnected with a lot of folks that, you know, I hadn't seen in a long time and, you know, that kind of thing. And so they're still open. They're still doing pretty well. You know, as far as I know, they changed their menu up a little bit. It's not just barbecue. It's more of us like a Southern kitchen now. So
makes sense. Like, it's whatever works for people too. Yeah.
You know, and Alvin, the community, there's a barbecue restaurant there called Joe's Barbecue, and it's been open for as long as I've been alive, I think, which I'm not going to tell you how long that is.
Yeah, I'm sure you look a lot younger than I am. And I just turned 50 like a week ago. So it's
so, you know, it, that restaurant, Joe's Barbecue, has been there forever.
At least 30 years, you're saying, right?
At least 30 years. Community, that's their, you know, Sunday after church place, yeah, to go. And so, you know, breaking into that as a barbecue restaurant was, you know, definitely something, mm-hmm, that was a challenge for sure.
What do you recommend too? Like, a little thing I was thinking about is, I've often thought about restaurants that can evolve are the ones that will survive over time, right? That's a lot of times people don't want to change what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that that's a super important thing in this business. I mean, like, so we opened Cherry Block in July of 2019, right? I've basically reopened this business 3 times in the past year because of the, you know, changes. I mean, like, it really is. Like, I feel like I've opened this restaurant three different times in 3 different ways because of all the, you know, evolving that we've had to do.
And what are those ways? And, you know, what was it originally?
So we opened, you know, our original, you know, we're inside Bravery Chef Hall. There were, you know, 5 restaurants at the time, 5 restaurants and 3 bars. And, you know, we opened this, you know, glorious fanfare. The city was super excited to have us. And, you know, all of the chefs that are here in this building have a pretty good following and a name for themselves. And so, like, we had got a lot of attention when we opened it. You know, it's not just a food hall where it's like a, you know, a mall food court. We are actually, you know, sourcing local food and, you know, cooking these, you know, chef driven menus that are not just a, you know, a burger or wrapped up in a piece of paper. That's an afterthought. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. And so it's not like the airport food court kind of thing.
Well, thank goodness.
So, you know, we opened up as a, yeah, you know, but I mean, people see food hall and they're like, oh, it's just a food court. Well, we took it a little bit further, mm-hmm, than that. And so, you know, we've got a lot of really talented folks here. So we opened in July and, you know, normal business, we were cruising right along, you know, that kind of thing. February of 2020 was my record month, you know, so business was building and building and building. February was my record month, and then the bottom fell out.
Yes.
And so, you know, as we saw it happening, you know, and it was like, what's going to, at the very beginning of March, it was like, we kept seeing, you know, the things happening in New York and then LA and
Seattle,
you know,
like, probably,
major cities. And yeah, you know, gosh, we were watching it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it came down to, you know, Governor Abbott shutting down the state of Texas as well, you know, and, it was like, well, okay, well, what do we do? You know, so we shut down the hall to dine in completely and pivoted and did delivery. And so that, you know, was a complete change of pace. Like, not only staffing levels were different, you know, boxing foods and, the protocols, the packaging and, you know, and then like the safety protocols that we put into place, which is the one, we were closed for one day and that was to put these safety protocols in place. So when we walk in here, all of our bags go on a table. Those get sanitized. We sanitize our hands. We take our temperature, log our temperature in. When we leave, we log our temperature out. All deliveries are made in one location, and then all the boxes are sanitized. I mean, like, it's a very strict protocol that has to happen, right? And so that was, you know, the first time we shut down, then we reopened as that, right? And, you know, the business wasn't great. I mean, it's still not great. It's still not. I mean, like, let's just be honest. I mean, it's just not.
It's not what it's not know. Close to February numbers.
It's not. No. I think I'm down about 57% right
that
now.
That's a big amount. I want people, that's also like not to be a downer at all, but that's what people should know. People should understand that delivery, like, it's hard for restaurants to sustain it, delivery alone. You guys do curbside too, right?
Yeah, but we're downtown. And so we have this, you know, and, you know, kind of like Aaron and Patrick over at Greenway Plaza, like, they're in the middle
that's
of
true.
This, like, mm-hmm. office building. Like, no, you know, I mean, we're not in the middle of an office building, but we survive with the people that work in those office buildings that are now working from home. Right. And so, you know, anyway, we reopened and did that. And then all of a sudden I get a phone call from Randy Evans, who I'm not sure if you know, he's one of the board members of Foodways Texas with me and has been a longtime friend. His niece was my assistant at Landry's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've known each other for years and years. And my partner, Felix Flores, and got an email or a text message from Randy. And he said, hey, do you think you guys would be interested in putting some food in HEB? And he works for HEB. And we were like, well, yeah.
Oh, I mean,
and so we thought it was like going to be like, mm-hmm. And so, well, okay. So Felix worked with Randy at Brennan's. Chris Shepherd who is the other person that got involved, and Brennan's. It was the three of us because we all were, you know, have this relationship. Okay. And that's how the connection here in Houston was made originally. There's six restaurants now that are involved in the program with HEB, but the original three were, you know, all stemming from Randy at Brennan's and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, build and maintain relationships.
Yeah, exactly. That's another tip, Dan. Don't burn all your bridges.
It saved my business. You know, we owe a lot to Randy. We owe a lot to HEB. So HEB calls and says, okay, this is what we want to do. We are literally doing this just to help you keep your employees working.
Wow.
They are not making a penny. They have not made one penny off of this. If I sell something to them at $10, they're selling it in the store at $10, and I get every single penny back.
Wow.
They literally...
That's unheard of.
...made the decision. They made the decision to just be a pass-through in order to keep my people at work.
Wow. I was a fan of HEB before, but now, wow.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and the original call, I was like, oh, cool. We'll be in like one HEB and like, you know, put some food out and cool. That's awesome. No, like we were in 11 HEBs at the beginning, you know, and like we've, you know, kind of moved some stuff around as we saw what was selling where and, you know, this, that, and the other. Yeah. And the program is still going. Like we started April 3rd was our first drop. And, you know, what's today? June 25th or yeah. something of that nature. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
25th. Yeah. 25th. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. So, right. You know, I mean, so it's been, you know, several months of them, you know, doing this for us.
Are your items in the deli? Is it in the deli? Is that where?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's the prepared meals that, like, you can grab them and pop them in the microwave. So we've got five items in there right now. And so that was a Genius. Completely other thing. Like, I've never packaged food in like this, mm-hmm. like the, you know, the labeling and the packaging and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, HEB, you know, has been super, super supportive on the labeling factors and the, you know, that kind of thing, because that has normally would have to go through, mm-hmm. you know, different channels to be able to provide food.
No, I work for Kroger and it's,
oh, so then, you know, nightmare. You know, they, but so what they did in the long story short, they went to the governor and said, we need you to provide this waiver that says that if they've got a health certificate from, you know, the city of Houston, mm-hmm. that they're able to provide, you know, this. And so basically we have a special, you know, waiver that HEB had got for us so that we don't have to go through all of the, you know, extremely stringent protocols, you know, during this time.
Which makes sense in another world. And yeah.
Right. Right. You know, and so that was, you know, learning how to, you know, package and put out, you know, we now deliver 3 days a week and, you know, putting out, and if you had been to this kitchen before, it's like the size of a home kitchen. It's very small. Like there's really no room, you know, in here. Putting food out, you know, 400 pieces of, you know, whatever, you know, the different five items is a lot. Packaging and, you know, that kind of thing. So that was the third way I opened the business. It was a complete different,
so
you know.
What percentage of your business is that? That's a good percentage, right?
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now it is. I haven't really run that number, but like I would, roughly. You know, guess about 80%.
That's huge.
80%. They, you know, they have spent enough money with me that it's very close to my normal revenue numbers, which
that makes me happy.
Is, wow. You know, I mean, and they're going to continue the program. They're actually working on revamping it to where it's a sustainable business model after COVID, so that they make some money, and they've had a lot of success and a lot of great feedback from their customers that they really enjoy having, you know, somebody saying like, oh, I went and got, you know, Cherry Blocks food from HEB. Like, how fun is that? You know?
And again, yeah, that doesn't hurt them either. That's a great, it's the local thing. That's really important. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're doing it all over the state. It's not just in Houston. It's San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, you know, all over the state. And so it's, you know, an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah, I think that, I saw someone tweeted or said something that they're in HEB, and I thought, how does that work? Okay, cool. Now I know.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, again, we're so grateful, and like they're calling it the Texans Helping Texans program, which is, you know, putting it very lightly, to say the least.
Yeah, no, that's...
They literally have saved our business.
What are those five items that you...
So right now I've got a smoked ham hock gumbo, which wow. Daniel wrote a little bit about. He came in and
that was the one. Okay,
not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gumbo is, you know, a days-long process to make. We smoke the bones that go into the stock. We roll the stock for, you know, hours and hours and hours. So it's like jello, gelatinous, you know. The roux is done by hand, you know, stirring and stirring and stirring for hours and, you know, that kind of thing. It's one of my pride and joy dishes that, you know, I'll never have another one like that.
I want that now.
It's very good. It's very good. And so we've got the ham hock gumbo. We've got a pimento cheese, which is actually my mom's recipe from when I was growing up. It was always in the refrigerator. And I kind of have, over the years, put my own spin on it. And, you know, it's pretty neat for her to see her, you know, a version of her
amazing.
Recipe
yes.
and HEV, yeah. you know. So we've got pimento cheese. We've got a braised Dr. Pepper short rib. So we braise short ribs and Dr. Pepper and stuff in some stock and, you know, that kind of thing with the cheese grits, which is, that's our number one seller. It's, you know, it's delicious. I mean, you can't really go wrong, right? Dr. Pepper grits.
No.
Then we do a marinated steak that we slice and serve with smashed potatoes and collard greens. And then what's my fifth item?
If you don't remember, I'll put it in the intro.
I can't remember.
The fifth item, you have to go to HEB, and it's your job to go to HEB
yeah,
and
so
find it.
You know what? Now you need to go find it. I cannot remember what the heck that is.
It's okay.
How did that even go out of my head?
You know what? Not like you have anything going on, so don't worry about it.
I know.
You know, those four on their own sound so remarkable that, you know, that's, if the fifth thing, we'll figure it out. But that's, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Is that essentially what you were serving at the food hall?
None of them. The gumbo is the one,
wow,
the
okay.
one thing
well,
that's on
why
menu.
It's a third.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, like, because you have to think that I had to create items that were going to hold and reheat in a microwave.
True.
Right. It's not something that I'm cooking and being able to put it on a plate for you and handing it right to you while it's still hot. I'm literally putting food in a package for you to take home and let it sit on the shelf at HEB for a day or two, however long it needs to sit, sell, and then take it home and be able to reheat it and still get that same, you know, quality that you're getting here at the restaurant. So I had to completely, you know, develop those menus. Oh, red beans and rice. That's what it is.
Okay, cool. I knew it would pop in.
That's the fifth one. red beans and rice with andouille. And that is another fun recipe as well. It's my friend of mine's great, 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 great grandmother's recipe that has been passed down. And she's the one that taught me how to make red beans.
Oh, this is so, I never thought talking about HEB would be so inspiring, but this is such a neat, that's amazing that this worked out like that.
I know. And so, you know, like I said, it's all about building and maintaining relationships.
For sure.
I talked about that a little, you know, that leadership style or that, you know, I mean, that's a very evident thing that, you know, the relationships that you build, and I mean, it's invaluable, you know, what you can do with the, you know, just about who you know and how you treat people and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's a thing.
Especially in the restaurant business. That's a great takeaway if someone's listening to this. Yeah, it's important.
Everybody knows everybody. There's, you know, everyone knows everyone here in this business, especially, like, I've been here in Houston for my entire career, right? And so, you know, we are, you know, this band of misfits, I think, is a good way to put it, that we, you know, we've all been, you know, through, you know, thick and thin. And, you know, especially during a time like this, it's so nice for me to be able to, you know, pick up the phone and call somebody and go, like, oh, what are y'all doing now? Like, what's going to happen?
You
know,
helps.
Like, even just to vent to somebody, because, you know, venting to my poor husband or my friends, you know, that aren't in the business,
that's
or, you know, they understand, and they, you know, they understand, and they feel, you know, they feel for, you know, the way that things are going, but they don't have, like, that day to day, like, how am I going to be able to pay my people?
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that probably kept me up the most at night, was not how am I going to pay my bills. I don't care about that. I care about how is my, you know, cook Marcus going to be able to put shoes on his kids. And how is he going to be able to, you know, put food on the table if I don't make this work? This is on me. I have to make this work. Like, somehow I've got to figure out how to keep that kid fed, right? And that was, you know, that kept me up hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And you guys, Houston has endured hurricanes and different things, but this is the global, nationwide. So there's no travel. Like, you're not getting the tourism that you guys used to get, and obviously you said downtowns.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the hurricanes. So I live on the coast. I live on Galveston Bay. And so, you know, I mean, like the hurricane thing is just a way of life for us. You know, you evacuate when you need to, and, you know, board all your shit up and hope that, you know, everything, you know, and hope everything's okay when you get home, you know. And there's really no, but you can plan for that. Like, I have a plan in place. Like, when a hurricane is forming in the, you know, tropics, like, okay, like, here's, my husband's in the boat business. And so it's, we're very, you know, in tune with what goes on, you know, even not just in Texas, in Florida as well. So
yeah, the weather, yeah, you, they know 7 days out, you know, 6 days out, you know, what's building. Yes.
Yeah, we know what, like, this, there's a, you know, there's a plan in place for, you know, this is what we do on 10 days out, 9 days out, seven, you know, that whole thing. So, but how am I supposed to plan for something that is affecting the entire world? Yeah. The entire world,
yeah. You know, last, I mean, months and months. A hurricane doesn't hit you for months.
A hurricane, it hits it, you know. Well, I mean, the after effect
yeah,
people
exactly,
are still, yeah. True, true. You know, people are still, you know, recovering from, you know, financially, yeah, from that and being displaced and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, that only affected Houston proper, right? Like, yeah, it didn't affect everybody. And so, huh, there's no way, there's nothing you can do to prepare for what we're going through right now, except for, you know, be positive and you know, be that light to people, because, you know, I can't tell you how many folks I know in the business that are just, you know, super, super understandably down about, you know, what's gonna happen to them, what's gonna happen to their employees. It's sad. It's really hard.
It's
really hard. And it really is. And you know, saying that out loud is something that wouldn't have happened 15 years ago.
Nobody
would have talked about that, you know? And so it's the maintaining those relationships and being able to call somebody and go, this is really what is, like, killing me right now. Like, how are you dealing with this?
How are you coping? Yeah.
How are you dealing with it? Not, you know, like, I'm just doing the best I can. Like, everybody's doing the best they can, right?
Yeah.
But
all walks of life, but it's different.
It's super important to you know, keep, you know, stay positive and you know, that's all we can do, right? There's nothing I can do except for stay positive.
No, exactly.
And I hope that my people can see that.
From what I've seen from afar and from what I've gotten just in this small amount of time that we've talked, I can see that's what comes through. It's just, you have days just like I do or anybody else. I'm a generally optimistic and positive person, but sometimes you get the way the world is going. It's rough. It's hard to get your, that's why I'm glad I'm friends with Kelly, because we can at least commiserate, and there's people, other people, JC and different people that I text that, thank God, I didn't have those people. No one else understands, and I'm not in a restaurant, but I'm in the world, so it's, yeah.
You know, and then being able to, you know, teach my kids that, you know, I've got two boys that are, you know, one's a sophomore in college and one's going to be a freshman in high school, and they're athletes. They're both baseball players. And so they know what hard work does, yeah, and, you know, where that can get you. And, you know, being able to show my kids that, you know, being able to lead a team the way that I do, mm-hmm, and the way that, you know, we all do here, and they see how hard I work, and they see what comes out of that, and they, you know, being able to give them those life lessons. I think that's a very, not everyone gets to do that.
That's
not everyone cares to do that, mm-hmm, you know, and being able to show them, you know, my husband works his ass off as well. You know, we're a hardworking group of folks.
No, but that shows that there's no easy way. I think before COVID, I think people were, there was a lot of things where people wanted the easy way, like either as social media stars or whatever the heck it was. This felt like, I think hopefully we can look back and maybe there were these positives that come out of this, that it's going to take, you have to be savvy and work hard and do things to
figure
survive.
It out, yeah, right? Make things happen. Like, you got to go out there and make it happen for yourself, because no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to do it for you.
Two things. First off, what's that noise in the background, just so I could say the intro? Is that a hammer or something?
Can you hear that? It's the AC people. God, I thought you couldn't hear it. Sorry.
Is it
terrible? Do I need to move?
I just want people to know all the different ways they can get a hold of you. And then what's for Cherry, like for you guys, for Bravery, is it going to, still, obviously things are now starting to come back to closing down. Like, is that going to be, I guess we don't know, right, for that?
I don't know. You know, right now we're just doing, again, you know, we're just making things happen as best we know how. And that's, that's, you know, where we are. That's what we're doing. And we're just going to continue on that road and continue on that path. And
you're doing delivery and curbside?
We're doing delivery and curbside. We are open as of today. We're open for dinner, for dine-in at 75% capacity. We are huge. It's a huge open space. Okay. And so it's, you know, we've got a lot of outdoor seating and, you know, practicing all the social distancing which, you know, I feel like is kind of one of those things, like, do people really need to say that anymore? Because, I mean, aren't we all doing that? Well, that's valid, valid. So we are open for, you know, dinner as of today. We don't know what that's going to remain or whatever,
but keep checking social media. You'll keep people up to date on that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got, you know, Cherry Block Craft Butcher and Kitchen is on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine yards. Cherry Block, H-O-U, okay. is Instagram handle. And then mine is Jessica Desham Timmons and Jess_Timmons on Insta.
That's great. Well, I'd like to do maybe, if we can, a part two in maybe a month or two, just to kind of check in and see. Or maybe at the end of summer or something.
Maybe we should schedule it now so that when we really need it, we haven't rescheduled 800 times.
I know. You know what? It's nice to know that you at the beginning it was you, then it became me, and I'm like, oh Lord, how we gonna...
I know. You know. I mean, you know, what are you gonna do? This is a strange world we live in. So,
exactly. But I really want to talk to you, so I'm tenacious. When I really want to do talk to somebody, I'm tenacious. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. So it's so nice to see your face and to see you smiling and to hear your story. And thank you so much for what you do for everyone, but also for your team. And then thank you for taking the time to talk to this guy in California.
Absolutely. And let me know if you have any questions, and we'll talk to you soon.
I will, for sure.
I would love for you to come see us.